The holidays are creeping up fast, and if your gift list still has some blank spaces, I've got you. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. These aren't generic grab-and-go presents. They're meaningful, personal, and they feel intentional, not last minute. One of my favorites this year is a tea advent calendar. My daughter's a big tea drinker, and this is the kind of gift that a tea drinker would love because it feels like you really thought of them. Uncommon Goods curates pieces that are high quality, unique, and often handmade. And there's truly something for everyone, your partner, your best friend, the foodie, the book lover. They've got it. Plus, every time you shop with Uncommon Goods, they donate a dollar to a nonprofit partner you choose. They've already given over $3.1 million. That's the kind of impact I can get behind. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Dr. Nicole. That's uncommongoods.com/Dr. Nicole for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. What does it mean if you see bleeding in early pregnancy and your doctor tells you it's a subchorionic hematoma? It can sound scary, but let's break down what's actually happening and what it really means for your pregnancy. Welcome to the Birth with Power podcast, where knowledge is power and power transforms birth. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, mom of two and practicing board certified OBGYN with over 20 years of experience and nearly 2,000 births attended. I've seen firsthand how the hospital system can leave women feeling unheard and uncertain, but that doesn't have to be your story. Here, you'll get the knowledge, support, and strategies to take charge of your birth experience so you can walk into the hospital feeling calm, confident, and empowered. Note, this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. See the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Whether this is your first time listening or you've been here before, I'm so grateful that you are spending some of your time with me today. In today's short episode, I'm talking about subchorionic hematomas. This topic actually came from a DM I got on Instagram. Someone asked me about it, and I thought it would make a great episode, especially because subchorionic hematomas are actually pretty common. So let's start with the basics. What exactly is a subchorionic hematoma? Well, a subchorionic hematoma is a collection of blood between the uterus and the chorion. The chorion is one of the membranes that surrounds the baby early in pregnancy. Think of it kind of like a small bruise underneath the surface, right where the pregnancy implanted. And subchorionic hematomas are found in about 1 to 3% of all pregnancies. They are actually one of the most common causes of bleeding in the first trimester. In fact, they account for up to 20% of early pregnancy bleeding. And yes, bleeding in pregnancy is always alarming, especially in the first trimester, but really at any point in pregnancy. I remember with my first daughter, I had a bleeding episode in the first trimester where I completely bled through my clothes. Falcon wasn't home. I was absolutely terrified. But here's the thing I want you to know right up front. Most of the time, subchorionic hematomas go away on their own and they don't harm your pregnancy. They don't cause any long-term problems. So definitely want you to know that right away, that they're typically not an issue. Now, with that being said, let's get into a little more details of subchorionic hematoma. So how are they diagnosed? Well, most women find out about them after noticing some spotting or bleeding and then going in for an ultrasound to look for a cause of the bleeding. Sometimes, though, they're found by accident or what's called incidentally. You're getting a routine early ultrasound, everything looks fine, and then you hear, oh, there's a small subchorionic hematoma. On my ultrasound images, it shows up like a dark or shadowy area near the gestational sac. The gestational sac is the little fluid-filled space where your baby is developing. Your doctor or ultrasound tech will usually describe it as small, moderate, or large, depending on how much blood is there. So a small hematoma might just be a few millimeters, like the size of a pea or a dime. A moderate hematoma could be one that's closer to the size of like a grape or a walnut. And then a large hematoma might be as big as a small plum, or it could be even larger. Now, try not to worry too much about the exact measurement. What really matters is how it changes over time. We don't want to see it grow over time. So what we will do is recommend follow-up ultrasounds to make sure it's shrinking or resolving as your pregnancy continues. So then what actually causes a subchorionic hematoma, and is there anything that you could have done to prevent it? Well, the truth is we do not fully know why they happen. What we do know is that it's likely caused by a small separation between the placenta and the wall of the uterus very, very early in pregnancy when everything is still kind of getting settled. And that small separation can lead to some bleeding. And the blood collects in that space, creating what's called a hematoma. A hematoma is just a fancy word for a collection of blood. And here's something else I really want you to hear. You did not do anything to cause this. You could not have done anything to prevent it. This is not from lifting something too heavy or exercising too hard or having sex. It is totally natural to look for a reason for something, but the reality is this is just one of those things that can happen in early pregnancy completely outside of your control, okay? So please, please, please know that you did not do anything to cause this. So I will always keep it real. And here's one truth we don't talk about enough. When you look at clinical research, women are often left out. Pregnant women, especially those from diverse racial and ethnic backgrounds, are routinely excluded from clinical studies that shape the care they receive. And believe it or not, many prenatal vitamins aren't even clinically tested. That's why Ritual caught my attention. Their essential prenatal multivitamin is backed by a 24-week human clinical trial. As an OBGYN who cares deeply about evidence, that matters to me. I love that every ingredient is traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals and microbes, and designed to support key nutrient gaps in the diet. Ritual is easy on the stomach, and it gives you confidence because you know exactly what's in it. That's why it's the number one best-selling prenatal. Don't settle for less than evidence-based support. My listeners get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/Dr. Nicole. That's ritual.com/Dr. Nicole for 25% off your first month. So now that you know what a subchorionic hematoma is and why it happens, the big question, of course, is what does it mean for your pregnancy? So again, I'm saying this again, the most important thing first, in the majority of cases, subchorionic hematomas do not cause long-term problems. The vast majority will resolve on their own as the pregnancy progresses and people go on to have healthy full-term births. Now, whether or not the subchorionic hematoma affects your pregnancy really depends on a few key factors. One is the size of the hematoma, also where it's located in the uterus matters, and then whether or not you're having symptoms like heavy bleeding or cramping. Smaller hematomas, especially when they don't cause any bleeding, usually shrink over time and eventually disappear. Even moderate-sized ones can resolve without any issues. It's really those larger ones, especially the ones that are close to or behind the placenta, that carry a higher risk for complications like miscarriage or preterm labor. When I've seen people have issues with subchorionic hematomas, it's generally from having a larger one. But even then, having a large subchorionic hematoma is not a guarantee that something will go wrong. I've also seen plenty of people with larger ones and they had no issues at all. It just means that we keep a closer I want things. And that is the good news, right? If you have a subchorionic hematoma, we'll monitor it with follow-up ultrasounds, check the size, check the location, and whether or not it's resolving. Now, with that being said, I know that that waiting and that watching can be incredibly hard, especially when you just want some certainty about what's going to happen and if it's going to affect your pregnancy. And it's really hard to kind of wrap your mind around the fact that there's nothing, unfortunately, that you can do that will determine the outcome one way or the other. Now, in general, we tell people to take it easy for a bit if you have a subchorionic hematoma, especially if you're having symptoms. That might mean avoiding heavy lifting or intense workouts. We don't say anything like bed rest where you just lay around, because that's definitely not helpful. We do, however, say pelvic rest, which means no sex or anything inserted vaginally until the bleeding stops or the hematoma resolves. And listen, I'll be honest. There is not a lot of solid research showing that pelvic rest makes a big difference or taking it easy makes a difference. These recommendations are just mostly based on provider experience and then really just an abundance of caution. Now, the most important thing you can do when you have a subchorionic hematoma is do your best to protect your peace. Try to avoid going down that Google or that Instagram or that TikTok rabbit hole. Try not to compare your pregnancy to someone else's pregnancy. And most of all, again, do not blame yourself. You didn't cause this. And worrying and going down that rabbit hole isn't going to change the outcome. You're doing everything you can control. And remember that most of the time, everything turns out just fine. All right, so that is it for this short episode. Thank you so much for listening today. If this episode helped you, share it with a friend and hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Remember, these Thursday episodes are just for subscribers. And remember I said, I got this topic from Instagram. So if we're not connected, come follow me on Instagram at Dr. Nicole Rankins. My DMs are truly open and I love, 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 love to hear from you. Now do me one more favor. Come on back next week and remember to trust your power and take charge of your birth.